Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
All over, at least North America, today is what we call kickoff Sunday. I know in different parts of the world, it'll probably be different because their school systems are different. But across North America, this is traditionally kickoff Sunday. School began and church resumes and vacationers are back and rested people are back and non-rested people are back. And it doesn't matter because God never left. Amen? And so I want to just challenge you today as I share this word. And we just sang it. Lord, speak to us that we don't just continue to do church as any ritual, but cause us in these days that are so precarious to recognize the signs of the times are at hand. Many of us who watch the news are seeing everything that the Bible says being fulfilled. Shocks a lot of people, but doesn't shock you if you know the Word of God. For you know that it's just a fulfillment of time. So I bless every one of you this morning, wherever you are, whatever state you're in, whatever mindset you're in, would you allow the Holy Spirit to just speak to you today as I just minister this word. And on this kickoff Sunday, I think our caption today is just do it. Nike has it. We can use it. Nike coined it. We love it. They steal a lot from the Bible. We're allowed to take a few phrases. So just tell somebody right now, just do it. Oh, some of you told me, I'm doing it. Now tell somebody else, just do it. My message title today is, Are You Willing? Are you willing? Do you ever say to God, Thy will be done? But my question then would, do you mean it? Do you mean it when you say it? Because we often say it, but do we really mean, Thy will be done? Especially today where we are so caught up with emotions over scriptural perspective. We allow emotions to rule more than the overriding word of God that sometimes will show us it's God's season, it's God's timing, he's still in control, he never forsook us, he didn't forget us, he hasn't abandoned us. We've become such an emotional generation that we forgot the power of the word of God. I love this quote, and you'll see it in a moment, but let me just phrase it first. It's from one of Billy Graham's messages, and he says, The will of God will not take you where the grace of God cannot sustain you. No matter where life leads you, you can trust in God's plan and lean on His grace. He's always with you, providing strength for every step. Some of you need me to read that again, and then I'll put the quote up right after I read it. The will of God will not take you where the grace of God cannot sustain you. No matter where life leads you, you can trust in God's plan and lean on His grace. He's always with you, providing strength for every step. And so the phrase that he coined, Dr. Billy Graham, was this, the love of God will never take you where the grace of God cannot keep you. You could take a snapshot of that because that's one of those iconic statements that he made. And so when we pray and ask the Lord to help us, guide us, we've got to remember that we also have to be willing for how he will guide us, how he will lead us, and what he calls us to do. So do you pray it with expectation and a hope that you will see the answer come to pass, meaning you're really praying what you want to see and you're open to seeing how God will do it? That's the strange part of it, because a lot of times we're telling God what to do, not asking God what His will is. How many of you would confess that in your prayer you're sometimes telling God what to do? Come on, let's be real. And how many of you say you get upset or angry when God doesn't do what you told Him to do? It's almost like we become God. You know, like, this is how God's going to do it, and I'm going to pray, it shall be done. It shall be done doesn't say, thy will be done. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the NIV. The New Living says, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've even forgotten to pray soon, because we don't want God's kingdom to come, because we know deep down we're not ready for God's kingdom to come, because we want to live out some earthly things that make us feel like it's our kingdom. Thy will be done, because his kingdom shall come. So I got to ask you this question. How is God's will going to be done on earth? How is God's will going to be done on earth? And just pause for a moment. Online, just our host today, type that in the chat line. And online, would you just answer it? And let's hear from you, those of you that are able to type in the chat line. But in-house, purposely, only one person. Turn to them and ask them, how is God's will going to be done on earth? Ask it as a question. See, we know how God's will is going to be done in heaven. Do you know how God's will is going to be done in heaven? The angelic hosts. First of all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have declared what will happen, and they're at work all the time. And Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for all of us. And Holy Spirit is indwelling us, trying to get us to do the will of God. And God has declared his will while he listens to the cry of Jesus' Son and watches Holy Spirit trying and pushing and prodding and prompting us to do the will. And then there's the angelic host. The archangel is doing his bidding in the major structure of society and of the earth. And then the angelic host, the ministering angels, are busy all around the world doing the bidding of the Lord. That's how it will be done in heaven. Question is, how will it be done on earth? Does anyone have an answer? Who? Us? Father, they said us. See, God's will cannot be accomplished on earth when the created beings he made for earth will not surrender to his divine plan and purpose and refuse to do the works that advance the kingdom of God. God's will is not going to be accomplished by the archangel coming to earth. God's will is not going to be accomplished just by the ministering angels that go about doing his bidding. He's already established how it will happen. It will happen through the earthly being that he created. And after watching all the errors they made, he sent his son Jesus. And then, after sending his son Jesus, he sent the blessed Holy Spirit. And now he awaits his created being doing his will. But we are in a decade where it's my will be done on earth. And could you do it in heaven too? Let me read my text today. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 4 and 14 to 19. I'm skipping through two parts of the Exodus story just to bring us to that point of his will. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. One day, Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the middle of the bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, here I am, Moses replied. For the sake of time, I skipped to verse 14. God replied to Moses, I am who I am. Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my eternal name, my name to be remembered for all generations. Now go and call together all the elders of Israel. Tell them, Yahweh, the God of your ancestors, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me. He told me, I've been watching closely, and I see how the Egyptians are treating you. I've promised to rescue you from your oppression in Egypt. I will lead you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 18, the elders of Israel will accept your message. Then you and the elders must go to the king of Egypt and tell him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So please, let us take a 3-day journey into the wilderness to offer sacrifices to our God. Verse 19, intriguing, very intriguing verse. But I know the king of Egypt will not let you go unless a mighty hand forces him. Well then, God, why are you sending me? Isn't the word of God amazing? But here's what God is always trying to communicate to us. God's hand is not short, nor is power in heaven limited. But he delights in using his created beings to fulfill his great purposes. When God showed up to Moses in a burning bush, he could have showed up to Pharaoh in a burning bush. When God showed up and called and spoke to Moses, he could have shown up in Pharaoh's castle palace and spoke to him and said, I am that I am, and caused the fear of God. In fact, if you read through, it's Isaiah, through the book of Isaiah. I might be wrong. Someone will correct me. Don't worry about it. I just blanked. My mind's going too fast. But there was a king who's Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel. No, it wasn't. But you'll find it. Go read the Bible. King Nebuchadnezzar, he declared that he was God. And God said, I think it's Isaiah, said, you will eat grass. Made him eat grass and then brought him back, so that he could punish Israel. Thy will be done. See, God can show up and do anything, but when he shows up, people don't recognize that it is God. People do not recognize when God is at work. And sometimes he does little things that we will ignore rather than seeing the miracle of God. He sees God's hand is not short, nor is power in heaven limited. He delights in using created beings to fulfill his great purpose. Got to tell you a quick one, even online. Our seniors were going out on a boat cruise this past Thursday. On Wednesday, as I looked at the forecast, it said rain on Thursday. And I said to Pastor Ruth, is it still going? She said, I called. I said, let them know. These are seniors. Pastor Ruth called them. They said, it's a rain or shine, the boat is covered. And so here, we're going to have 60-plus seniors going on a wet boat, trying to have fun, huddled inside of a boat in Kingston. Not good. The next day, they called. And they said, there's going to be high winds, and the boat can't go out. Now, we just go, oh, isn't that coincidental? I happen to not like coincidences. I like to see the God moment. I'm like, oh yeah? We had 60 of God's people going out on your boat, and you were going to put them wet and let them slide on running shoes trying to climb over from a dock to a boat. And my God said, send the wind and fix it. That's how I see it. Seniors, did you realize that God sent you a wind to get you off that wet boat? There's a dry boat coming soon. The Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear. NIV says, surely the arm of the Lord is not too short, nor his ear dull. The New Living says, listen, God's arm is not weak, nor his ear deaf. We've got to remember, folks, the arm of the Lord is mighty. He can reach down to heaven and fix it all. But when he does it, humans don't acknowledge it's God. The reason I shared even the senior story, Pastor Ruth's story, it's their victory. But the reason I share it is everything that happens, we say coincidental. I like to see the miracles of God. I am sorry, there was no wind on Wednesday. But on Thursday, there was one good enough that that boat can't move. I want us to remember God can just sit and change it. But if we don't have expectation in our heart, we keep living in the realm of the physical rather than seeing the realm of the supernatural, what causes us to declare, my God is still in charge. So my question today is, can you become willing? Can you become willing? It's a question. Exodus 4, verse 4 to 17. But Moses protested. This is after God calls him now, and I'm skipping through the rest of chapter 3. Moses protested, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw it down, turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. Then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached, grabbed it, turned into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord says, then they will believe the Lord, the God of your ancestors, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has really appeared to you. I'm going to pause there because I need to say this. Next week, I'm going to try to address a little bit more our young generation in the message. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when you read throughout Scripture, he's always referring to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What is that? Generations. The old generation that can drive you crazy is there to help you grow. The middle generation that can annoy you, they're there to help you grow. The young generation that annoys us, they're here to help us grow. Just had to say that this morning. Then the Lord said to Moses, put your hand inside your cloak. So Moses put his hand inside the cloak, took it out. Hand was white as snow with a severe skin disease. Put your hand back into your cloak, the Lord says. So Moses put his hand back, and when he took it out again, it was healthy as the rest of his body. The Lord said to Moses, if they do not believe you and are not convinced by the first miraculous sign, they will be convinced by the second. If they don't believe you or listen, or even after these two signs, take some water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground. When you do, the water will turn to blood. Moses pleaded with the Lord, oh Lord, I'm not very good with words. I've never been, and I'm not now. Even though you've spoken to me, I get tongue-tied, and my words get tangled. Does that sound like anybody in here? You feel yourself right now? Verse 11, the Lord said, Moses, who makes a person's mouth? Who decides whether people speak or do not speak, hear or do not hear, see or do not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go. I'll be with you as you speak, and I will instruct you in what to say. Moses pleaded again, Lord, please send somebody else. Father, we, a congregation, have become the people of send somebody else. Help us. Verse 14, the Lord became angry with Moses. All right, he said, what about your brother Aaron? I know he speaks well, and look, he's on his way to meet you. He'll be delighted to see you. Talk to him, put the words in his mouth. I'll be with you both as you speak, and I will instruct you both in what to do. Aaron will be your spokesperson to the people. He will be your mouthpiece, and you will stand in the place of God for him, telling him what to say. Take your shepherd's staff with you and use it to perform the miraculous signs I have shown you. This is the word of the Lord. So here's the quick message. God could do it all without human intervention. But the fickle humans that we are, that he created, we will always attribute divine workings to the things that we see humans can do. Instead of trusting what God has done, we always see what humans do. Do you know that we can tell you everything that everyone on the world spectrum is doing? We can tell you what, you know, the president of the U.S. is doing. We can tell you what Putin's doing. We can tell you what Kim Jong-un's doing. We can tell you people around the world what they're doing. We can tell you what your neighbor is doing. We can tell you what your best friend is doing. We can tell what all humans are doing because we watch everyone else, but we're not busy watching what God is doing. And so we've taken our eyes off the Lord, and because of that, we're not seeing his divine intervention. But God will not do the work on earth today without human intervention. Because when he does, we won't give glory to God. If God dropped down and fixed all the problems we have, we would say coincidentally. Yes? Oh, yeah, it just so happened the rain was falling and then the wind was blowing. We forgot who sends the wind. So we stop equating the powerful things to God, and we only enamor humans that act powerfully. Folks, we've got to have to change our hearts and our mind, which means that we've got to grow your faith and grow it with what you've got. Grow our faith. God, what will you have me to do because you work through us? Lord, if it's your will to be done on earth, then Lord, would you do something through me? Faith means taking a stick, which is the gift you've got in your hands, the skills and abilities that God gave you, the blessings that God has given you to accomplish the things you're accomplishing on earth. Faith is taking that and doing something great with it. God said to Moses, what did he have? He had a staff. What was the staff for? Look after sheep. Why are you using that? Saying all you've got right now is a stick, and you use it to know how to guide sheep. Now watch the miracle of God through what you have in your hands, because what you have in your hands I gave to you. And then he says, the gift of speech I gave to you. You're stuttering and stammering and carrying on and belly aching about what you cannot do. Fine. God's saying, you know what, God, what's intriguing about this passage? God said, okay. You belly aching people at PPC. I'm going to bring you a non-stammering voice, but you are still going to have to speak everything to him. It's like, okay, God, well, you spoke to me directly. Can you just speak directly to Aaron, and then Aaron can go to Pharaoh? Because actually, Aaron is living there where Pharaoh is, and I'm not. And God's like, no, I won't even speak to Aaron. I'm going to tell you, and you will tell Aaron. What did God do? God says, okay, you're going to wimp out, so I will send you help, but I'm not going to remove you out of the equation. Folks, whatever your fear, God is still faithful. Moses was selected as the leader to lead Israel into freedom, lead them out of Egypt. Egypt was a mighty evil kingdom. No power could break this superpower. And the lesson that we must continually learn is this: nothing is impossible with God. God uses human vessels to accomplish great and divine purposes. He could have sent an archangel and frightened Pharaoh. He could have sent, when Nebuchadnezzar, I'm stuck. Somebody could yell out, is it Isaiah? When Nebuchadnezzar saw the writing on the wall, it's still Daniel, eh? I'm just so stuck in Isaiah in my head. Isaiah 59 is where it says, my arm's too short, not short. But anyways, you know how that gets, right? Shows you how human we are. I do need you to know online, I read the word through from Genesis to Revelation every year since I'm 16, so I know the passage. But sometimes when you're preaching, your mind's in a fast pace. But could he not have sent an archangel? Talk to me, church. Could God not have sent an archangel? Now, if that huge archangel showed up before Pharaoh and said, let my people go, wouldn't Pharaoh know what was going on? But he says, Pharaoh is going to attribute it to an aberration. It's some kind of spirit world. He's not going to say it's God. Talk to me. He would never say it is the God of heaven who appeared. But when Moses showed up and says, I am that I am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, what just happened? Pharaoh knew whose God was doing what miracle. So if you're wondering, God, why don't you just fix everything around us? Why don't you fix the church? Why don't you fix the children? And he's like, they won't know who's done it until you show up. Moses says, but I can't speak. He says, okay, you still have the Spirit of God in you? I'll get one who's gifted in speech, and you will still be a part of the process. I want you to know this morning, this is not new. God has always done these mighty works. There's one time in 2 Kings 19 where God did an example where he showed that he can demonstrate his power without showing up. But Israel then had to declare, we saw it with our own eyes and God did it. That's why God uses human vessels. 2 Kings 19, verse 32 to 36. This is what the Lord, this is when the Assyrian army came against Israel. This is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. His armies will not enter Jerusalem. They will not even shoot an arrow at it. They will not march outside the gates with their shield or build banks of earth against the wall. The king will return to his own country by the same road he came. He will not enter this city, says the Lord. For my honor and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend this city and protect it. At night, this is when Hezekiah had gone to prayer, and so prayer changes things. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Then King Sennacherib of Assyria broke camp and returned to his own land. He went home to his capital of Nineveh and stayed there. He went back the way he came without an army that he came with. That's the time when God showed up and says, okay, Israel, you are outnumbered, and I can see that you will be destroyed, and my name will be destroyed. And God says, I'll show up and take care of it. Folks, all other times, God used the human. And so we in the church need to realize in this generation, God is looking for us to step up. The problem of the church worldwide today is that everyone's saying, it's not my job, I'm busy, I'm occupied, I don't have gift, I can't speak, I can't use my hand. The gifts God gave me is not for the church, it's for me to make my own money. And so we've left the church to be a place where only a few fulfill the will of God. Because the will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. God is expecting us to grow as disciples. And every year as we go through looking for people to step up and be a part of kingdom work, we find the same few and the others have a divinely wrong. It's not a divine excuse. It's a divinely wrong excuse. Because God says to Moses, there is no excuses before the Lord. Do you know how we grow as disciples? It's when we are working in the kingdom. Do you know how iron sharpens iron? It's when you put the iron of folks in the church together with the iron of other folks in the church. Then you begin to see the goodness of God. Do you know it's a miracle to be able to pastor a church? No other industry has the collectives of people except government, but government, they're not sitting in front of you or coming in your face to argue. You can't reach your prime minister to tell him off. No other entity is so intertwined. But while we are intertwined, each one of us are individually and specifically called to something. I know there are many seniors here who've devoted their entire life to their work in the kingdom. Now, as they are on the other side where they're sitting back and taking a breather, there's a generation that says, not my problem. And that's why we see the world going in anarchy and the church shrinking in a treacherous day. Because everyone has the ability to have a stick in their hand or some kind of speech in their mouth. Moses was schooled well, but now he only had a stick. Aaron was not schooled in the same Ivy League training that Moses received, but he had the gift of speech that came only from God. And now God says, I'm going to use both of you. I just want you to imagine here, just imagine here, Aaron's fears. I'm not educated like Moses. Moses was taken by Pharaoh's daughter, raised in the palace. He's got all the schooling of the Pharaohites. He's got everything. He grew in there. I'm just a simple man in a rock quarry making brick with straw. I've only eaten onions and leeks while he's eaten caviar and filet mignon. That would have been Aaron's fear, yes? I don't have that high-end education. That's why I will declare I'm fully educated in the Word right up to seminary, graduated from seminary. But I don't even mind when I make a moment today, like when I have a block, because it shows you that we all are human and that none of us are superheroes in the Word of God. Like I'm always saying to, there are no superheroes in prayer. Every person is called to pray. And God answers every person's prayer. Sometimes we think some person, if pastor pray, God will answer. If you pray, God will answer. So that was Aaron's fear. Let's talk about Moses' fear. Moses' fear was, I am as educated as the Pharaohs, and I can outwit them. But I stammer. See, stammering was seen as a sign of weakness in that kingdom. In the Egyptian kingdom, everything had to be perfect. And so his confidence was shot. And he couldn't see how he could stand before the people that he even grew up with. And I want you to know today, when Holy Spirit is working in you, there is nothing to fear. New passion is infused in your life by your obedience of faith, not your excuses. Let me just say that again. New passion. If you're not excited about the kingdom of God, if you're not excited about the work of God, if you don't want to do nothing but show up on a Sunday, you need new passion. But new passion is infused in your life by what? Your obedience, not by your excuses. And the Lord showed us, even as Moses made excuses, God said, okay, I'll work with you, but I'm still going to keep you in the process. Such purposes only comes because we want to fulfill the will of God. So I want to ask you today, recognize your fear. Recognize your fears and ask God to help you overcome them. Moses' fear was stammering. He felt inadequate. Aaron's fear was inadequacy. He didn't grow up in it. But God yet said to both of them, I'm going to use you both. Because God will not ask you to personally accomplish what is impossible. God asks you to allow him to accomplish the impossible through you. I love how I've watched God do things in my life that at times I even feel inadequate and inferior for. I've watched as I've been around the world, there are doors that were open. I'm like, but God, it's not me. Like other bigger people, bigger names, bigger this. He's like, have I not given you your mouth and a promise to fill it? Ezekiel, open your mouth and I'll fill it. Folks, do you have a hand? Whatever tools he's given you, whatever work he's given you, that same work can be accomplished in the house of God. You got a mouth? Some of you got a lot of mouth. Then let God use it and channel it to accomplish more. In this decade, for some strange reason, we have allowed only a few to grow as disciples, while the rest of us will tell ourselves, I'm okay and God's okay with me. I need to shock you today to say that's, you cannot find that in the Word of God. Every person called by God is called to be a witness, a disciple, a worker. And if you're nothing, doing nothing for God, but just showing up, then what he gave you in your hands, you're just using for yourself. And the gift of speech he gave you that has carried you where you are, you're using it to foster your own life, neglecting the future of the kingdom. Because it's not just about the kingdom today. We inherited this from those who knew the divine will of God. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. Each one of us has a responsibility. So I have three questions today. Will you live like you believe? Will you live like you believe God can? If you're going to live like you believe God can, then ask the Lord today, God, what will you have me to do? Online, You're quick with the computer. What can you do for the kingdom of God? Some of you are saying, God, I'm afraid, but I will still trust you. Moses was afraid. Aaron was afraid. But God was not afraid. So the question is, God, I can be a part of your plan with what I have. What do I have? Ask God to show you. Whatever gift he gave you, it wasn't just so you make money. It's so that his will be done. Yes? Would you bow your heads with me? Father, it's a simple message from a well-known passage. But the stories of the Bible are written to remind us of who you are and what you expect of us whom you created. So God, as I communicated this very famous passage again, leaning on your arms and asking you, Lord, to move upon the hearts of your people, that every hand will be a hand submitted to God. Every lip will be a lip submitted to God. Every ear will be an ear open to the Lord. Every eye will be an eye that sees the things of God. Now, God, even the writer says, taste and see that the Lord is good. That, God, every person will determine, I need to taste of the goodness of God by how I live out the will of God. God, help folks today to realize your grace will carry us where we feel we can't go. And that's how we see the miracles of God. So we submit our lives to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.